What does he mean by that?
What kind of message do I send?
Why are boys so annoying?
Finally, hooking you up with millennial dating advice. I'm your host, Heather Hopkins, and you're listening to The Hookup. Hey everyone, we are back for another week of The Hookup with Heather Hopkins. I'm here in the beautiful Santa Monica, California with a just incredible guest. He is a relationship coach. I think we all need a little help. Tell us who you are and tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so my name is Kevin Crenshaw. I am a love and relationship coach, and I actually got started in this. This is always the first question is, how did you get started?
Yeah, I know.
So I got started about 6 years ago. My ex-fiance cheated on me and dumped me, and I held a loaded pistol in my mouth and almost took my life. And then the two relationships after her even cheated on me. And I thought, if love is the point of life and it's this painful, like, what's the point of even being here? And I was really depressed. I was constantly suicidal. And something in me just snapped, and I got absolutely fascinated. I was like, there's got to be more to love than this.
Yeah.
And I just started reading and everything about love and relationships and human psychology around relationships. And I changed my own love life and broke a lot of patterns. And then I helped actually save a marriage, and that's when I was like, whoa, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And so fast forward quite a few years, here we are, this is what I do, and
isn't that amazing how life will just take a turn and you're just like, but it never feels more right, you know?
100%.
It's the best.
It is.
So what's your Instagram, first of all? Where can they find you?
Kev Crenshaw. That's K-E-V-C-R-E-N-S-H-A-W.
Yeah, so right now you can go stalk him while you listen to this.
Stalk me, yeah.
His stuff is amazing. You guys will learn so much. He also has a podcast called The Heartbeat.
The Heartbeat is daily.
So check it out. We support other people.
Hey.
All right, so I have a bunch of questions for you.
I got a bunch of answers.
And I know. You guys, usually I like feed people like kind of like a little bit of the question before so I don't get like the but he's like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm like, all right, you're a pro. He is a actual pro. So I want to hear, number one, how do girls' brains differ from guys?
Ooh, this is a really good question because they do.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you asked that because most people, especially in 2019 or in the age that we're in, are like the non-gender-ness. And to neglect our difference is horrible.
Yeah.
Because men's brains are chemically different than a woman's.
Yeah.
When a boy is born, there's almost no like connective tissue to the right and left side of the brain, which helps with emotional intelligence. And as men get older, it starts to form. And for women, it's really strong when you're an infant, and then it deteriorates as you get older. So it's almost the reverse. That's why you see older women are a little bit more doing. They do more because that's because of that. And the older men are more stoic.
What do you mean
sage.
They do more?
They actions, like tangible things, where men are men. For the most part, are more about like, you know, cut the grass. You like do that type of stuff. On older women, as they get older, that stuff starts to happen. Their energy switches to more a little bit more masculine in their core,
very interesting.
Because of the difference in their brains.
Oh.
So that's one way, but it also shows up in different ways.
Yeah.
So men have what's called single focus.
Okay. Oh no, I believe it.
Meaning we can't multitask.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I started to honor and respect that of myself, my productivity went up, and I also started respecting other people when I was doing something and then I noticed somebody was trying to talk to me. I was like, "Hold on one second."
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I have my attentions here.
Uh-huh. I feel like men are more like dogs.
No, wow.
I mean,
wow.
Not in that, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like dogs where like if something's good, they're like, "Yeah, I'm happy." Like they're not, they don't have that, like, you know, women are more like cats. We're like, "Do we like you?" Like there's other stuff that's happening
so men,
to me. That's the way I look at it. But tell me if I'm wrong.
No, not necessarily. Men have what's called single focus. We focus on one thing at a time, and we're constantly, our subconscious mind is saying, "What's the point and what's the problem?"
Yeah.
So we're always trying to fix.
Okay.
And that is an instinct from our animal side, right? That's not coming from our conscious. And with women, it's called diffused awareness. The term was coined by Alison Armstrong. If you guys want to learn more about all of this masculine, feminine energy stuff, she's amazing at it and explaining this. But diffused awareness means you can multitask really well. And you can take on a million things. You can have a baby in your arm, and you can be listening to TV and talking to your friend at the phone and cooking dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. But you, now then, when it comes to dating, the awareness of this. So if you're in a dating situation, or maybe you're not even dating, you're with somebody. Uh-huh. And that person is a man, and that man has single focus. If he's working or doing something and you come busting in the room and start yelling at him for no reason, or maybe you don't even yell at him. Maybe you just say, hey, could you do this for me?
Yeah.
He'll be like, yeah, sure. Uh-huh. He didn't absorb that. He just said yes. So he wouldn't be like, to be polite.
Uh-huh.
You need to say, hey, can I get your attention real fast? It's okay. It's pre-faming. Oh. Hey, this means a lot to me. Can I get your attention?
So now we have his attention.
And then you can say it. And then you can say it. Okay. And you need to say it as clearly as fucking possible. Because let me give you an example.
Yes.
Hey, babe, can you take out the trash? Yeah. I can.
Yeah.
You didn't say when.
Yeah.
But if it's like, you come back and you
can you take out the trash
right
out. Now?
Yeah, exactly. You go out, right, you go out, you come back. Babe, you didn't take the trash out. What the fuck? Yeah. I was gonna do it. You didn't tell, like, and then he's like, what the heck? It's a communication issue. One of the biggest misunderstandings and cause of divide in relationships is miscommunication. And they're literally two different languages, how our brains work. So when you can know the other person's brain works chemically different, you can speak in that way.
Yeah.
So also, guys out there listening, when she's venting, you need to stop her and say, do you want me to solve this, or do you just want me to be with you and listen?
Okay.
Like, do you need my help, or do you just want me to listen?
I love that.
Frame it, because then you can relax. Because if you start dumping on the guy and you're just going off about your day, like you're talking to your girlfriends, he's thinking, what's the point? What's the problem? And he's like, and then he can't remember all this stuff and he just checks out.
Yeah.
And then you talk more to try to build a connection and he's out.
Yeah.
And then you get frustrated. Your needs aren't being met. He's thinks you're too much. You see what I mean? That's where it comes from.
Well, I think that guys are more black and white. They need the black and – like, you have to make it very clear, just like you're saying. And girls, we say yeah and we do not mean yeah. Or, like, I'm fine.
Playing
games. No. So, girls are typically – like, we can see more of the gray. Like, we have an instant – we can feel, like, when someone says I'm fine and they're not fine.
Exactly,
we know.
Exactly.
But guys, they genuinely – I believe that they really think you're fine, you know.
Like, unless they have more emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
I know you have other questions, but I really want to dive into this because it's really important.
Yeah.
The world of growing up as a boy is completely different than the world of growing up as a lady.
Mm-hmm.
So in the playground in kindergarten, when a little boy fell and scraped his elbow, he's crying. It hurts. The teacher may come over. Oh, my God, are you okay? He's fine. Okay, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just walk it off. And then he walks it off and he goes back to playing. He's a kid, right?
Yeah.
Same thing happens to a little girl. She falls and scrapes her elbow. All of her friends come over. The teacher comes over. Oh, my God, it's amazing. They're feeling with her.
Yeah.
They're with her until she gets up. And then she brushes it off. She keeps going.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's how it happens. Now, they both got up from that situation, but the lesson that was learned subconsciously in that belief, or in that experience, I'm sorry, the belief was for the little boy, my feelings don't matter.
Okay.
And for the little girl, it was my feelings are connective.
Okay. What do you mean by that? Elaborate.
He fell and scraped his elbow. Nobody really cared.
Uh-huh.
Get up and...
Get up, boy. Yeah. Get up. Okay, I see.
Get up and tough it up. Mm-hmm. You'll be fine.
And
so that teaches him that's the thing. It actually doesn't teach him at all to explore his emotions. Uh-huh. And so the world of men to be vulnerable in expression of emotion is really hard, even if it's positive. Even if I were to just like talk to one of my guy friends and just be like, dude, I really just want to say I really appreciate this about you and this and this and this. Like, that's harder for a man to do because we have not been there as many times in our lifetime. Right. So it's not that we're disconnected from our emotions or we're suppressing them or we don't want to go there. It's literally it's like we don't know the language.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And
absolutely.
So that's called emotional intelligence. That goes back to the whole stuff that I was talking about, right and left side of the brain. So, when a man can do that, it's because he's done it over and over and over again. And he's built that emotional muscle in order to express in that way.
Well, I always feel like guys that have sisters will even have like a little more.
Because
they'll get it a little bit more.
Exactly.
And it's because they've been around it. That makes 100% total sense now.
100%. And that also means they're more in tune with their feminine because that is a feminine quality.
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have masculine and feminine in us. It's how are you showing up around what situation? Because if you're feminine at your core, and you have a job where you're like a lawyer, you have to be masculine.
Yeah.
But then when you are on a date, take off your lawyer-ness.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
be yourself, you know, and it's just having discernment and awareness on that. So
interesting.
We're going to take 1 second.
All right, we're right back. Next up, let me ask you, what's the number one thing that people do wrong when they're looking to meet someone?
The number one thing people do wrong, they're worrying about themselves. Most people go into a relationship to get.
Ah.
And a relationship is a place to give. So they're saying, what can this person do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they not going to hurt me? Instead of, oh my God, this human being is amazing and I want to love them.
Yeah.
It's completely different energy. So they're going into it already with their guards up. They're going into it already with this trade-off mentality, which is going to set you up for failure in the long run. If you play games in the beginning, you're going to play games for the rest of it.
Yes, I completely stand by that.
Right? So it's being honest and being like, oh, and this is how it's shown up. Imagine a guy coming up and just saying, oh my God, you are beautiful. I don't want anything. I don't even want to know your name. Just wanted to know. Wanted you to know that you're beautiful. And then he left. That is love. Because he just gave without expectation of anything. Yeah. But then maybe you see him again and you're like, oh, hey, like, so what's up? What's your name? So right? Like, oh. Because that's different than, yo, gonna buy you a drink.
Yeah.
Because then already know he's fucking, he's asking for something in return.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is interesting because this is something that I went through was knowing being overly loving sometimes is a mask and overly caring because that's what I was doing. I was being so giving and so loving, and I was like giving to this person 1,000% more than anybody they've ever experienced. They even told me that.
Yeah.
But I was needy. I was doing it so they wouldn't leave.
Ah.
I was saying I love you so they could say I love you back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing things so that they would be showered with this love so that I would feel safe that they wouldn't leave me. That was my underlying, like, reason for it. And I was completely unaware of it at the time. But, like, once I was aware of that, guess what? They stopped cheating on me. That, I broke that pattern. Three relationships in a row. First three relationships all cheated on me. I caused it. Because I thought I was loving and I was giving to them. But there's certain needs of every man and certain needs of every woman and certain needs of every relationship that need to be met on a spiritual level, or you're going to seek it out in somebody else.
Yeah.
And I thought I was being everything, but I actually wasn't.
I see. Very interesting. I think that a lot of people, they won't admit, like, they're like, oh no, I'm not looking for someone. I'm just whatever. I'm just busy, whatever. But they really are like, literally want to go out all the time just to find someone.
And
I think the first thing is like admitting, you know, like I would love to have a person in my life that that I would love, you know? I think like the number one thing is just being real and honest. Like if you start playing games like at that part where you're like, no, I'm not. Like I feel like you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Right. And that's a deservingness. Like is it, are you saying that because you don't think you're going to get it?
Yeah.
And you don't want to give your hopes up or you don't want to get hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
That could be a reason for saying that. So yeah.
Let's see. Next up, do you believe in soulmates? Well, this is a good question.
It is a good question.
I bet you get asked it all the time.
I do. So I do. This goes into past lives. This goes into twin flames. If you guys are familiar with any of this,
he does like
Reiki and energy healing. Right. I'm a pranic healer and other things. So, if you believe in past lives and all that stuff, I'm not going to go into it because a whole nother conversation for another podcast. Okay. But, there are beings that I believe we are meant to find. So this also goes into free will versus predestination if you're Christian, right? So predestination is this life is predetermined by the higher power and there's nothing really you can do about it. Like you're going to make certain choices, you're going to have certain experiences, it's all planned. There's also free will where there's no plan, God's not even intervening, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a balance of the two. I believe that there is a higher plan because there's a reason why your soul is here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why you're here on this planet right now today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for everything. Why you get on the elevator with another person. Why we're talking right now. You're listening to this at this point in your life. There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Everything. And I believe that. But it's our free will of the decision of what we do that's going to lead us in the right direction. So I do believe that like organic interaction, like where you reach the apple at the same time in the supermarket, right? Like that stuff can happen, but and life puts the right people in front of us, but it's up to us to start the conversations.
Yeah.
So I do believe in not just one soul mate because you can make it work. And I think they've done the statistics, and there's like 8 people in the world that for like every one person that you can actually call a soulmate. And I don't know how that works. But again, like, at the end of the day, I do believe that there is one person out there for you. And you're meant to become the person for them. Mm. It's not a prize. Mm-hmm. You're there to serve them. And if you can work on not just knowing what you want, because you can have a checklist and he's this tall and he makes this much money and he loves it, all these lists. But do you have a list for yourself on who you need to become in order to attract this person into your life? Mm-hmm. That's what you can focus on. It's the only thing you can control. And instead of searching and acting like it's a hunt to find this person and, you know, like, become the right person and trust that it'll happen in divine timing. Yeah. And that's one thing, too. I hear this from I've been doing what I do for a really long time. And one thing that I hear from women all over the world, only women.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Man, the men in LA. The men in LA. The men in New York. The men in New York, they just want to play games. The men in Miami, they're just wanting to have fun. The men in Nicaragua, they're just wanting. The men in Paris. The men in Paris are horrible.
But I always say I'm also part of the problem. So.
Yes, but also I do want to say there is a majority of a lack of masculinity within the manhood, which is part of why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to look at the statistics. Because if you believe in soulmates, you're only looking for one person anyway.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get validation from everybody. So if you get constantly shut down and rejected, you're just getting closer to the fucking right person. You've said, okay, cool, not that one, not that one, not that one.
Yeah. So you think people should believe in soulmates, or do you, like...
That if you didn't, you wouldn't have hope.
Yeah. I guess
to some
true.
Degree. To some degree.
I like that.
You have
I've
to
never,
have hope.
I've never heard it connected like that.
You have to have hope that it's like, yeah, you know what?
There's someone right out there
that was created specifically for me, and I was created specifically for them, and we're going to experience this together.
Yeah. I love that.
I send her energy. I pray to her every night.
Yeah.
I don't know who she is.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I actually had a guest talk about soulmates and seasons. She said, I believe that they're, you know, depending on where you are.
Well, that's like, where everybody comes into your life for a reason and a season. Yes. Yeah, and that is true, because every one of my exes, I still love to death, but we're just not meant to be together, right? And that when you can learn the lesson, by the way, in all of your past experiences with relationships, that's when you can say, I'm done with this pattern, and you can break the pattern by learning lessons. So you're either going to repeat or evolve. Mm-hmm. Those are the two options you always have.
And to find patterns, what do you recommend?
You keep
doing?
Getting cheated. You keep it's obvious. You keep getting cheated on. You keep getting rejected. You keep
dating messed up guys. Like,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Or you keep attracting people that are abusive. Those are the patterns. That does not say something about the other gender. It says everything about you.
Mm-hmm. So then you figure what that is. You figure and out it's, what that
is. Relationships are a mirror, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, if you're dating a narcissist, that you're a narcissist. That's not what it means. It's what within you is allowing this and attracting this. Mm. And it's not your true spirit. That's the thing. You're showing up in a way that is maybe weak or easily needy, so that can be manipulative and manipulated. Most people who are abusers attract needy people.
Mm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And so then you figure out the pattern, and then you're saying to
you figure out the pattern, and then you go where it's never why is this happening to me? Why?
Yeah.
That's never the right question. Yeah. The question is, when did this start, and what can I do about it?
Yep.
When and what? So when you ask those questions, when and what, then you can say, oh, you know, I after this boyfriend or girlfriend, right? After this relationship, I started this pattern. So then go to that relationship and forgive the person, forgive yourself, because Mother Teresa said it best. If you want to learn to love, you must learn to forgive.
I love that. Yeah.
That's true. You have to return. That's what returning to love is. Love, a lot of what I do is teaching people to unlearn. Mm-hmm. I'm not teaching new shit. You know how to love. Yeah. That's your nature.
Yeah.
But it's allowing yourself to get to that, and instead of being so scared, because then you're coming at it, you're meeting somebody at your hurt, which is in your head. You can't think your way into a relationship. You have to be in relationship. And let me break this down. You can ask me another question. To be in love means to be. That's heart space. Mm-hmm. In your present love, giving. Mm-hmm. There's no achieving. There's no doing. You're fully being present with another person, and you're giving to them.
Yeah.
Right? So to be in, if that's what it means to be in love, then there's no transactions. There's no, just give love and have discernment on what comes back.
Yeah.
And if you are that person that just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, and gives, you're neglecting yourself. That's completely different. That's another topic. But anyway.
Got it. Wow, that was awesome. So how do you get out of the friend zone without losing a friend? Because I feel like I get this question all the time. They're like, I have been in love with, like, not in, but they're like, I've been into this person for so long, but, you know, it's just not worth telling him because I'll lose a friend. Do you say go for it? Or what is your advice for that?
Is the anxiety of being in, like, the breadcrumbs of attention worth it? Because you're getting.
I'm like, you need to handle this. Your thoughts are consumed by this,
yes,
so
exactly.
You need to get this going.
Well, it's not what you really want, and so it's allowing yourself to be like, you know what, this is what I really want, and how you do it is through the laws of chemistry.
Okay.
So there's laws of chemistry and the art of connection.
So the laws of chemistry.
Break like
it down.
Creating chemistry in a relationship and passion and fire.
Yeah.
So you can be in a friendship with somebody. And I'm going to assume that this is a guy asking this question,
yes.
Okay? So the guy is being friend-zoned. He's a really good relationship with this chick. They're really good friends. She sees him as a best friend, and she's telling him all her secrets, and he's making him feel more for her, but he doesn't want to go there. You got to switch into your masculine because you're showing up feminine with her.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys are together, you're in your feminine. You have to switch on your masculine because that'll add polarity into the energy, and that's when she'll think of you different.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be super, super big. It can't be like something subtle.
Yeah.
Because especially if you've been friends for a while,
so
she
can
has
you give
to
an example of like when what it means to like switch into that.
Yeah, yeah. So switching into masculine. You know, you're feminine, being feminine with her, all this stuff, which is friend zone. You're being very friendly. You're being very nice. Stand up for her and be like, no, you know what? I don't believe that that's the case.
Yeah.
And like, because I assume you're being also Mr. Nice Guy. So you're just saying yes to everything she's saying.
Yeah.
And then you seem you're a pushover. And women need to feel men's strength.
Mm-hmm. So
that's why they constantly test. And they do it by seemingly insignificant questions. Hey, babe, what do you want to eat for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? How does that make you feel?
Really?
Okay, but what if I really didn't care?
I mean, I don't know. I would be like, well, I hate decisions, so that's my own.
Because
you're
being
gonna tear
because
me up.
Because being decisive is a masculine trait.
Yeah.
That's your masculine energy. When you're decisive, this is how it's going to happen.
I would say I'm very decisive with business.
Exactly, because you're masculine in that.
Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to like a menu, I'm like, I don't know, whatever you want.
Yes,
I
yes.
Can go with the
but flow. But you're doing that to say, can I trust you to make a decision? Any decision, I just want you to make a decision.
Yes.
And I need to trust that you can make a decision, because if you can do this in the smaller things, then if something bigger happens, I can trust you.
Uh-huh.
It's saying, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you?
Yeah.
With all these smaller things.
Yeah.
So that's one way. But going back to the whole like, the switching your energy on thing is being bold and fucking going for it. That doesn't mean kissing her out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That means like turning on the flirt a little bit.
Yeah.
And like,
I always say, I'm like, then flirt, like just add a, like just test the waters a little bit, you know?
So, and one good thing of that is, so in conversation, when you say something, start to slow your speech down, look at her eyes and her lips and back to her eyes, make a triangle. And that's a very subtle, like, subconscious hit. And pay attention to her body language.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. It is getting juicy on the hookup. And I bet you want to know more of that conversation. Because who doesn't want to know about body language? That is one of my favorite topics. Because it's like the answers to if they're interested or not, right? So next week, we'll talk more about that and so many more other things. Thank you guys so much for listening. I heart all of you and have an amazing week. And get ready for part two with Mr. Relationship Coach Kevin Crenshaw. If you guys enjoyed the show, please show your love by leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope that you have the most amazing week.